Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Bible Study, a time to study, ask questions, and fellowship around the Word of God with Apostle Kyron and Pastor Kimberly Buford of New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia, with Breaking Chains and Young Adult Talk. Join us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at 858-357-9137.
Praise the Lord, and thanks for joining us tonight, Tuesday night, for Tuesday night Bible study with New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia, Breaking Chains with Young Adult Talk. This is Pastor Kimberly Buford.
This is Pastor Kyron Buford, and welcome, welcome, welcome to this Tuesday night edition of our weekly Bible study. We have an awesome word tonight, an awesome lesson, but as we always do, let's first begin with a word of prayer before we go any further. Father God, we thank you tonight in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you. We bless your name, God.
Hallelujah.
As we look back over our lives, God, and all of our disobedience, to know that you still blessed us, Father, and gave us
thank
grace,
you,
mercy, and favor. Father God, we say
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Now we pray tonight that you would give us divine revelation of your word.
Please, Lord.
We pray tonight that we, as we discuss, as we read, as we teach and talk about your word tonight, God, that it will fall and be planted among the good ground of our hearts. And
yes,
God,
Lord,
not only that, but as the word comes, God, within our heart, let us take the same word, Father, and apply it to our lives, that we will live, that we will be a doer of your word and not a hearer only, deceiving our own self. God, we bless you. We thank you for everyone that will join in with us tonight. Let us
thank
be on one
you.
Accord. When we come against every spirit of confusion, of discord, of God, of non-compliance, we just come against everything that's not like you, God. We cancel every assignment that will hinder and prevent us, oh God,
thank
from walking in the spirit of love. Now, Father, we thank
you,
you, and we bless your holy, magnificent,
Hallelujah.
And wonderful name. In Jesus' name, we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Let's have a moment of worship. Today we are dealing with the Holy Spirit, and the more that we seek you, Lord, the more we know we'll find you.
The more I find it.
seek you today through your word. We seek you. We want to know about you, Lord. We want to know who you are and where you want us to go and what you want us to do and how you want us to do it. Lord, direct us in every step of the way. Amen. Amen. Our lesson tonight is going to be about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Pastor.
Yes. Amen. The Holy Spirit and who he is and God's promise to us to deliver us the Holy Spirit. You know, now I know we have our various books tonight, and you're reading from yours, I'm reading from mine. Now, mine begins with the Holy Spirit, and it says that the Holy Spirit is God's promise to us. And we have the scripture, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 5, when it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall receive, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days after." So Jesus telling them that John baptized you with water, but he makes a distinction between the water baptism and the Holy Spirit baptism.
Amen.
Did you catch that? He said, "John truly did baptize with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days after." And then when we come down to verse number 8, he said, "And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be a witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So we know that part about that verse of scripture. But he makes a distinction between the water baptism and then being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And the water baptism symbolizes us being buried and raised again into glory with Jesus. Coming out of the water symbolizes being raised up from the dead. So the water covers us, swallows us, and we're raised up. And it symbolizes, you know, that death, burial, and resurrection. But the Holy Ghost baptism.
Amen. Amen. You know what, Pastor? While we're talking about the Holy Ghost baptism, we kind of need to find out who is the Holy Spirit. Who is that third person of the Trinity? Who is he? And, you know, to kind of get an idea, we can look at the very first book of the Bible. We can look at Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, we see the Holy Spirit. I mean, in the very beginning, it says in Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Mm-hmm. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." So the Holy Spirit, at the very beginning, was part of the act of creation. And you know what?
Amen.
He's still functioning in the act of creation because he creates a new spirit in us when we are raised from the dead, just like you just talked about in the book of Acts, when we are brought from death to life. That is the function, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's his job.
Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a person in John 14:16.
Amen.
He says, "I will pray the Father, and he," talking about the Father, "shall give you a comforter," shall give you another comforter, "that he," the comforter, the Holy Spirit, "may abide with you forever." Let me repeat that. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a person. In John 14:16, he says, "I will pray the Father, and he," the Father, "shall give you another comforter, that he," the comforter, the Holy Spirit, "may abide with you forever." Now let's break this down. Jesus was talking to his disciples and letting them know that, okay, I'm getting ready to move off the scene. Okay, and that's, I'm getting ready to leave here. But I'm going to pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. You see, as he was with them on the earth, talking about Jesus, he was their comforter.
Amen. That's good, Pastor.
But he say, "I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to pray to him that he will give you another comforter in my stead."
Amen.
And that comforter is going to be the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever.
Now, he is a personal pronoun, which indicates that this is a person.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because we don't refer to inanimate objects as he or she, you know, in that first person tense or personal pronoun tense. I don't call my computer
yes.
he. I don't call a football right. her or a he or she. No, because they don't live. It's an inanimate object. But he said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever.
Amen.
So
amen.
The Holy Spirit is a person. The
yes.
Holy Spirit is a person. In other words, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive him, the third person
yes.
of the Godhead. Not
That's
a
right.
it. Not the light.
That's right.
But we're
That's
talking
right.
about the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit.
And, you know, the Holy Spirit's job, his job is to bring us into relationship with God. That's his job. His job is to strive and to. The Bible says, "But he strives with man. He strives to bring us back into relationship with God." And notice when Jesus was on the earth, prior to Jesus leaving the earth, the Holy Spirit was not here. As a matter
right.
of fact, in the Old Testament, whenever you hear about the prophets, how the Spirit of God came upon them, they talk about David, how the Spirit of God came upon him. Solomon, the Spirit of God came. Samuel, Spirit of God came upon him. Samson, the Spirit of God came upon him. Mary, the Spirit of God the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. But nobody prior to the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, nobody was filled with the Holy Spirit. Every time you see the Holy Spirit functioning, you saw the Holy Spirit coming on someone, resting on them, but never
mm-hmm.
infilling them. And
that's right.
when Jesus was being baptized, there you saw the whole Godhead represented in the earth realm at the same time. The only time you saw the whole Godhead, the Godhead three, in the earth at the same time. The Son was baptized. The Holy Spirit came down as a dove and landed on him, and you heard the voice of the
and
Father.
And the voice of God spoke.
That's right. The only time in Scripture you see all three at the same time in the earth realm. Holy Spirit did not come until Jesus left. He couldn't. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Amen. That's right. So we learn here about the attributes and the character of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
He is a person. Amen. And when you receive him, he indwells us. He is a person. And so you're filled with the Holy Ghost.
Can I throw something else out there that I forgot to add just now? In Acts chapter 2, we talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But God had already told us what he was going to do. Because in the book of Joel, he told us what he was going to do. He said, and it shall come to pass afterwards. This is chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. God has already told us what he was going to do and if you read prior to that verse, it tells you all the things that were going to take place as that had to take place before him pouring out his spirit, and all of it has been done. So God is literally now, today, at this season, he is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. It's not just for one person or another person to have the gifts of the Spirit. It's for all of us to have. But we have
mm-hmm.
to be filled with the person of the Holy Spirit prior to that. You just can't do it in your own flesh.
Amen. Amen. That's right. We have to be filled. We cannot do this of our own accord. And
Amen.
Listen, when you receive the Holy Ghost, we receive a divine personality.
Yes.
Okay? He is a divine personality. He comes to live in us, to dwell in us, and to make his home in us.
Yes.
So you have to think of him as really a, seriously, as a person. Not just some figment of imagination, some far-out type of thought. We have to think about the Holy Spirit as a divine personality, as a person who can see, who can hear, who thinks,
who can be grieved. Because you hear all the time, you know, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, inanimate objects cannot be grieved.
That's right. But when it's Holy Spirit that God gives us, who lives inside of us, and they see us doing things that are out of character, that are ungodly, we are grieving. When we start to exhibit a lack of faith, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. When we are exhibiting a lack of consistency in serving God, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. When we begin to, do the same things that we preach against in church, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. When we begin to backbite and whisper and complain and murmur all these things that God does not like, we're grieving the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Word says that, now this lesson says that if we have been filled with the Holy Ghost, we should be conscious of his indwelling presence at every waking moment.
Amen.
If we are filled with the personality of the Holy Spirit, be conscious. We should remind ourselves, I'm filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
We should be aware of his indwelling presence at every waking moment.
You know, there used to be a time when we used to all walk around with those WWJD braces. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You know, to quote-unquote remind us that Jesus was with us all the time. Well, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what we're saying. You know, don't forget you're not by yourself. And as a matter of fact, in scriptures, when you do things, it's like just remember when you do things with this body in which the Holy Spirit is housed, then you are, in essence, joining the Holy Spirit, taking the Holy Spirit along with you to participate in those activities that you participate in. So that's something that we need to really keep in mind when if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right. And here's the good news. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is not for sinners. It's for saints. It's for believers.
Amen.
Because
the only thing a sinner can do is be saved.
And see, and those in the world, they cannot receive the Spirit of truth until they come to Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. So, you know, it's something we can't take lightly. It's not a game. You know,
amen.
It's not a game. And as we learn about the person and the personality of the Holy Spirit, amen, we also learn what does and what does not constitute evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? The new word, rather.
And
I think this lesson was talking about extreme teachings in certain religious circles that said you had to speak in tongues as proof of being born again, and that's not true. But the Bible says you shall speak in new tongues as the Spirit give utterance, and that's a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But
amen.
You know, the only sign you have of being born again is you know, your lifestyle, your light being your light shining, and how you live, how you conduct yourself. You know, and that's what the Word says. You know, you should know the tree by the fruit that it bears.
Amen.
And so our objective is to not grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, we speak in tongues, so that's my evidence. So, quite naturally, if I'm speaking in tongues and the Spirit gives me utterance, that means he resides in me. And if he lives inside of me, I need to be aware that this is a personality that lives a divine, a holy, sacred,
holy personality
that lives inside of me. far be it from me to do things that will grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me first go back to repent, because, God, I've fallen short. I've messed up. I've done some stuff I shouldn't be doing. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I want to be in tune and be sensitive to the move of God and to the Spirit that's within me. Amen. That's leading and guiding me. Because this personality, this divine personality, is leading me to truth. It speaks to my mind. Listen, if we really want to surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit, he will lead us, he will guide us. I'm telling you, man, he will take us higher and higher. He will tell you, don't make a left turn, make a right turn. Don't go this way, go that way. Don't say this, say that. You know, but we have to yield ourselves.
But you know what, Pastor? You just said something a minute ago. The first step is repent. The first step is repent. The first step is be saved. The first step is, when you are saved, repent. I remember a pastor that we used to have. The one thing she told me was keep short accounts. Always keep short accounts with God. You know, if we have issues, if something happens, if you sin, if you fall short, repent, repent. Repent should be our middle name. Every time we do something that we ain't got no business doing or say something or think something or whatever, repent. Because the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in an unclean vessel. God's holiness cannot dwell with unholiness, with filth, with dirt, with anything unclean. He can't dwell with that. So we have to make sure to keep short accounts, because other than that, we will certainly grieve his Spirit. And a lot of the time, we won't even be able to hear him speak, because we will have all that stuff that's clouding or that's blocking the communication. He's trying to keep us in tune, and that's really what the speaking in tongues is. Speaking in tongues is like our hotline to God. That's our personal communication with God, and it is transmitted to God through via the Holy Spirit. That's like our FaceTime with God, if it were. You know, the Holy Spirit facilitates that, and the Bible says that our tongues are a language that we might not understand, but the Holy Spirit gives us utterance that will edify our spirit and speak directly to God. And when we use that language, as a matter of fact, there was something in the article I read. And it was actually a video clip, and they tested the brains of people who prayed in tongues, and it was very interesting that they said that people who were speaking in tongues, when they tested their brain activity was silent. There was no brain activity when they were The language area of the brain was not functioning. Therefore, we know this is not earthly. This is not something that we just do of our own will. It comes from another place. That's what God said. The Bible says that. So we are speaking directly to God. That's our hotline. That's our communication with God. That's our edification within ourselves. And that's why we do that. And we can't get that unless we've been saved, and that is the job of the Holy Spirit. Then we have to stay clean. Amen. I'm sorry, Pastor. Go ahead.
That's all right. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, okay, personality. It's like a river. He is like a river of living water.
Amen. Amen.
Now listen to what Jesus said. In John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
But he was talking about the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. See, this is the Holy Spirit is a gift to all those who believe in him.
Amen.
All those who believe in salvation through Christ Jesus, shall receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 Go ahead, Pastor.
And there's a, I'm trying to find a place. I saw another scripture here that I really, that was a great lesson that was taught. And I got, I'm trying to find it. My God. It was talking about the Holy Spirit being given to all those who believe in Christ, you know. And I think because we like to place unscriptural criteria on people to receive the Holy Spirit. And the lesson was showing that,
amen,
that really, you know, it's unscriptural. We have a lot of dogmatic. We have a lot of dogmatic theology that has originated in the church that is not substantiated by the Bible.
Amen.
You know, it's just some man-made, passed-down religion that we have subscribed to that's not scriptural. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And
amen.
So I'm trying to find
and
my point here because.
And you know what? A lot of the time, going kind of a little bit deeper to what you said, that goes into man-made doctrine, these doctrine of men that make the word of God of none effect. And basically it's saying, okay, well, it's just like any other religious situation. Well, if you wear pants, you're going to hell. Well, if you press your hair, perm your hair, you're going to hell. If you wear lipstick, you're going to hell. Unless you come and tarry at the altar and do this, 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 and this, you ain't going to get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true, because there are a lot of people, including myself, that didn't go through that. And I'm just as filled with the Holy Ghost as anybody else is. So I'm just saying, you know, and Kenneth Hagin, I think in his book, he talked about the fact that he went and confronted a preacher. He said, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the preacher was going to say, well, let's wait till service. That's just like telling somebody, they say, hey, I want to be baptized. And you say, okay, well, wait till Sunday. Well, what if they ain't got till Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kenneth Hagin said, well, he told me, he said, well, what's stopping me from receiving the Holy Ghost right now? And the man said, he thought about it. He said, well, nothing. He prayed with it. That he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, boom, it's done. God is very simple, and we actually need help to misunderstand him. And a lot of people are willing to do just that for you, to help you misunderstand
right.
God.
And we need help to misunderstand.
That's right. They help us misunderstand, because that's the devil's job. And, you know, I'm not saying that the people are devils, but what I'm saying is, the enemy will use anyone. He will use anyone to misunderstand, to help you misunderstand. And some people, they mean well, but they're sincere, but sincerely wrong.
Amen. So listen, I found my spot. Okay. Now, we have established that the Holy Spirit is God's promise to us as believers.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
That's a promise. That's the promise God gave us. He said, you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Okay, you should receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You should be
right.
a witness unto me, you know, over the world. Okay,
right.
Then we go over to Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. And this
uh-huh.
is Peter talking. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Now watch this now.
Right.
Peter made this very simple. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, stop.
That's real stuff. That's it.
Now, when I grew up in the church, they always told me I had to tarry for the Holy Ghost. I had to go to the altar, and I had to call on the name of Jesus until I got into a delirium and fell out. I had to clap my hands real fast. Okay. Until I had some emotional knee jerking and physical demonstrations of convulsions.
Wow.
And once I did that, I had the Holy Ghost. Now Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent, number one, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
for the remission of your sins. Okay, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So two things here. Peter said, first you're going to repent. I'm going to repent with my voice. Father, forgive me in the name of Jesus, okay? And then, say, you know, be baptized. Okay, so that's a water baptism. And say, then once you repent and you are baptized by this water baptism, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So I don't have to go to the altar and clap my hands real fast and call on Jesus and have physical convulsions and all that to receive the Holy Ghost. He says, by repent.
But let me add something to that. If you read a little bit further in that scripture, something that's really wonderful that he said in verse 39, for the promise is unto you
and
to your children.
And
to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's great news. That's good news in itself. Because you know what? That included you and me. It said to them, to their children, the Jews, and to everybody afar off, like the rest of us. Boy, right here, that became a promise for all of us. For all. And look, the Holy Spirit ain't got to come back into the earth realm to do nothing. The Holy Spirit is already here. There does not need to be another quote-unquote Pentecost moment because the Holy Spirit never left. He's still here. He's
mm-hmm.
just waiting on us. And just like in the book of Genesis, when it says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered, the Holy Spirit hovered, at the moved upon the face of the water or hovered over the face of the water. The Holy Spirit does that right now to all who don't know him, to all that are not saved. The Holy Spirit is standing there hovering over you, waiting for you just to open and receive and say, yes, Lord, I believe. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's what he's waiting to do. He's there. He's moving on us. I mean, I go back to before I got saved. I look back on my life and I recognize how the Holy Spirit, he was there. He was moving on me all that time until I finally gave my life to Christ. And that's what he does. He works in our lives. He works in us, through us, and on us. He works on us until we open ourselves to receive him, to receive salvation. That's what
mm-hmm.
he does. Amen. That's what he does. And you know what, Pastor, I want to throw something else out there. What gifts does the Holy Spirit, what are some things that the Holy Spirit brings with him when he comes? He brings in a love of the Word of God. You know, I remember before I got saved, I must have read the Bible about four or five times. I read all through the Bible. I knew all the little stories and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? It was just a story to me. They were just stories. They didn't make any sense. Some of them made sense on the human level, on the natural, the level of the natural man, they made sense. But beyond that, I didn't, you know, okay, whatever. You know, it's just a Bible story, okay? Ain't no fish big enough to swallow no man. You know, all of that kind of stuff. You know, you reason with your natural mind because your spiritual mind is darkened. But once you receive God's salvation and you receive that first step of the Holy Spirit, he opens your eyes to the scriptures. He opens your eyes and your mind to be able to receive all that God has for you in his word. And it becomes, I mean, other than that, how can you know who you are in Christ? How can you know what your promises are in Christ? You can't understand the word. You have no understanding yet. What does the Bible say about, I think it's in Romans, Paul is talking about functioning as brute beasts. We have the mind, we are functioning in the natural man like a beast. You know, we have no understanding of the things of God. We have no mind for the things of God. But once the Holy Spirit comes in and he enlightens you, it's like he flips the switch and turns the lights on. And it's like, oh, wow, this is what I've been missing all this time. And then when you begin to read the Word of God it begins to jump off the pages at you. His word begins to become alive. It becomes alive. And you begin to read God's word with a different understanding. It's like, wait a minute, I never saw that before. I even experience it now to where I'll read scriptures that I've read all my life, even now. And whereas I got one revelation this time, totally different revelation another time, because God's word is living and breathing and ever alive. So when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he gives us a love for God's word, and it makes it even more relevant than the news that you watch every day.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes alive to us. The Holy Spirit also gives us a desire for stewardship. He gives us a desire to want to sow into the kingdom of God, to build up financially the kingdom of God. It has to be the Holy Spirit, because in a natural man ain't going to do it. The natural man is going to be like, you know, well, I could probably get a better return if I give it to the Salvation Army. That's the natural man.
Amen.
The natural
man
is looking at it from that perspective. They're looking at it, well, what am I going to get back in my flesh? What am I going to get back? What am I going to get out of it? And it's not about what we're going to get out of it. It's about what we're doing for the kingdom of God. It's about sowing into the kingdom. And that is our only concern, is about doing what we need to do for the kingdom of God. And
that only
comes from an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Another thing that comes from an infilling of the Holy Spirit is, instead of running from your sin, you face it and confess it.
Hallelujah.
You don't run from your sin. You don't try to cover it up. We don't try to hide it. But because the Holy Spirit, what did they say about convict, convince, and convert?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He convinces us that we're wrong. He convicts us of our sin. He convinces us of the holiness of God. And God's holiness cannot dwell in an unclean vessel. And wherever there is sin, there is filth. And when we dwell in sin, we give the devil the right to come in and do whatever he want to do. But the Holy Spirit holds up a mirror to it and says, no, you need to confess this. I don't know about you, but I can't hold on to sin. I got to turn around and confess it. And get, it's like I recognize it, because sin is a separation from God. That's what sin is a separation. And we have to recognize that God wants to dwell with us. He wants to dwell with us. He wants to be with us. He doesn't want to be separated from us. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't want to be separated from him either.
That's right.
Another thing that the Holy Spirit brings is a compassion for us. You know, it's a love for the people of God, and a desire to love people the way God loves. I don't really know how to explain it even any deeper than that, but it's just a holy love for the people of God, and not just the people of God, but not just the people of God, but God's creation, his people that are created, the people that he has created, wherever we see them, whenever we see them. It gives us a compassion for the people that we know don't know him. It gives us a desire to pray for their salvation. It gives us a desire to stand in the gap and pray for those that are falling off the edge into hell every day. It gives us a desire and an unction and a zeal to go after those lost souls.
You know what? And so doing that, we have to be mindful that we do not let people persuade us to compromise our belief system. You know,
amen.
You have people nowadays saying things like, well, the Holy Spirit was for the old apostles in the old church.
No.
You know, and that's not the case, because the Holy Spirit is still hovering over the water. It's still going to
that's
and fro.
It.
It's still
that's
trying
right.
to
find those who want to be saved and is still, you know, seeking to come into the hearts of those that God has preordained to be the heirs of salvation. So that has not changed. You know, that's another extreme teaching from a denominational, traditional, man-made religion that'll tell you that, well, you know, nobody has the Holy Spirit in the modern church. You know, in this postmodern church, nobody has the Holy Spirit. That was for the old church, for the old apostles, for the old preachers. And that is not the case.
Well, wait a minute. That scripture that we just read in the book of Acts disproves that. Acts chapter 2, verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. He wasn't just talking about a far off location-wise. He was talking about time-wise, too, down through the generations, down, you know, years later, now 2,000 years later. He was talking about us, too, because if he didn't mean it then, that would mean God was a lie. Because God's word says, I have the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So why would he be different with them than he is for us? Why would he give them something that he wouldn't want to give us? So somebody lying. And it's not God's word, because he can't lie. And that's why the Holy Spirit gives us a heart to go out and reach out to other people. He gives us a heart to go get other folks and bring them into the saving knowledge. The true saving knowledge. That's right. He gives us a desire to go out and love on them, to go out and tell them who he is. And it's not about beating people up with the Bible. You go in hell. It ain't about all of that. It's just about showing them the love of God. He loves us so very much.
And the Lord loves people.
He loves his people. God created all of us. Whether the Bible says that God's sun shines on the just and the unjust. His rain falls on the just and the unjust. He loves us all. He created us all. Now, does he want any to go to hell? No, because he never created hell for us. It was for the devil and his angels. However, if that's the choice we make, but God's going to send it, he's going to send a boat, a plane, a moped, a scooter. God is going to send every opportunity to get us to come to the saving knowledge of him before the enemy snatches that life. The Holy Spirit is going to do everything he can to draw us back to God. That's his job.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
The Holy Spirit also gives us a heart of joy and happiness. He gives us joy that passes all understanding. And when we walk in it.
That's why we have a listing in the book of Galatians, I think the fifth chapter.
Yes.
And it shows the fruit of the Spirit or the characteristic and the behavior of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now, mind you, this is a divine personality. It comes
Amen.
From God. It does not dwell in sin. It does not dwell in foolishness, okay?
All
and
right.
And then when we look at the behavior and the characteristic of the Holy Spirit, there's love, there's meekness, there's temperance, you know, there's joy, there's peace. And so all these variables and behavior traits should be a part of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I understand you got the Holy Spirit, but you walk around with a scowl and a frown on your face.
Looking like you've been sucking on lemons.
Now, that's
been
wrong with that picture.
Amen. Because God gives us a heart of joy
God
and a heart of peace.
Well, the Lord has called us. He's blessed us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Because we got to go out there and change the world for him and meet other people, you know, and bring them in. You know,
Amen.
So we have to have a firm understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. When I'm indwelled by the Holy Spirit, he teaches me how to love, how to forgive.
That's right.
He gives me faith, how to increase my faith in believing in him, you know.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. Then the Bible says we have power also after we get the Holy Spirit over in Acts.
That's right.
So if we got this power, then that means that we can go and literally change an environment because we've got the power
yes.
of the Holy Ghost in us.
Yes. We become thermostats instead of thermometers. We become thermostats. We change an atmosphere when we walk into it. We have that power. You know, Adam walked in that power. Adam actually changed the weather. He was able to change the weather. He was able to do those things because he had that before the fall, he and Eve had those bodies. God gave them free reign. This was their territory. This was their world. And they could change and do whatever it was they needed to do until they gave that power to the enemy at the fall. And when we come back into our right relationship, we have that opportunity to be able to change the atmosphere anywhere we go.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We change that holy atmosphere. And you know what? Another thing that the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit brings healing. The Holy Spirit brings healing. When you see people getting healed, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. It comes with him. That's another one of the gifts that he brings. When we are walking in the Holy Spirit, and Pastor, you know, we've seen healings take place like nobody's business. We've seen these things take place. We've seen people get up and walk that way in wheelchairs. We've seen people put their crutches down, their crutches and their walkers. We've seen people do this. We've seen people get up out of sick beds.
That's right. That's right. And
but
that just demonstrates
the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's right. That verifies, it affirms, it validates the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, and so the Lord has not lost anything. He still has as phenomenal and omnipotent now as he was back then.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God
hallelujah.
Is awesome. Do we have anybody else on the line tonight?
We've got a couple of people, but I think they're just listening.
Okay. All right.
Amen.
Well, and you know what? Now, I'm reminded of the story of Ananias and Sapphira over in the book of Acts. Now, mind you, we're talking about the Holy Spirit as a personality, as a divine personality.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And so I don't like being lied to. And this story demonstrates that apparently the Holy Spirit does not like being lied to either. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Because Ananias and Sapphira, they both dropped dead from the lying to the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes folks think they're going to get away with stuff, and the Holy Spirit does not like to be lied to, and he's not going to be grieved. And, you know, a lot of people are looking at, well, God don't do that no more. God hasn't done it. Doesn't mean he won't. Doesn't mean he can't. He just hasn't done it lately. But now we have seen some folks, you know, they have done some things that they shouldn't have done, and they've had consequences behind them. So we have to be very careful of how we handle God's people and how we handle the Holy Spirit in general. Amen.
Let's
look at the book of Acts chapter 2 very quickly. Now, let's talk about when the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Stop right there. This is one of the main things that must be in place in order for the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do. There must be a spirit of unity. Where there is division, that division, division, division. Division is divided. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Division. There is a division of the vision. There is a separation. There is a breach. There's a breach in the house. Jesus even said when they accused him of casting out the devil by the devil. And Jesus even said, a house divided can't stand. Where there is not unity, the Holy Spirit can't flow. So one of the first prerequisites is that there must be a spirit of unity in the house in order for the Holy Spirit to do the work that he needs to do in the body of Christ. And right now there is so much division in the body. You got these over here believe that, and these over here believe that, and these over here see this, and these over here doing that, and y'all can't go to heaven because y'all doing this, and y'all going to go to hell because y'all doing that. And it's too much division in the body of Christ. Well, you believe this, so y'all ain't right, and you don't believe that because you ain't right. Got to be a spirit of unity, and there must be a spirit of love. Unity and love are the foundation that the Holy Spirit works to continue to bring the body in right relationship with God. Well, amen. I don't know where Pastor went, but I just keep going. Unity and the spirit of love are just majorly important. The spirit of love, as a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 5, Pastor brought that up earlier. In Galatians chapter 5, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, these are things that the Holy Spirit brings. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit brings with himself. He brings these gifts with himself. And so he gives these to us. He gives these gifts to us. At first, it talks about all of these things. If you're doing this stuff, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But at verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, these are gifts that the Holy Spirit brings to us when we receive him into our lives. He brings us love. He brings love. He brings joy. He brings peace. If you've ever been in an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is moving, these are things you feel. You feel that peace. You feel love, joy, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. We have to live in that place. I guess in a way you could call it a sweet spot. Live in that sweet spot where the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting in us. I have not yet arrived. I'm not even going to lie and play like I have. I'm still striving just like everybody else. But God said that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we should be able to flow in this. There should be a spirit of love on you, a spirit of joy, a spirit of peace. When people see you coming, do they think Holy Spirit or do they think Hell's Angel? I'm just saying. You know, what is your demeanor? What is your disposition? You know, are you joyful and happy, or do you have or do you look like you've been sucking on some lemons today? We have to, you know, sit back and determine whose spirit are we flowing under that particular day. Whose spirit are we flowing under? Yes, we might be filled with the Holy Spirit, but that might not be the spirit that we're flowing under at that very moment. You know, God gives us these gifts so that when we go out into the world, when people see us, they don't know why they're drawn to us. They don't know why they're telling us their problems. They don't know why they feel like they just need to go and just ask us what we think or share things with us. It's because of the Holy Spirit that's in us. It's because of the God that is working on the inside and he's manifesting on the outside. That's why you have people coming up to you and asking you questions about God. That's why you have people coming up to you and say, well, you know, I got this problem and I just don't know how to fix it. That's why you have people that just come and just start talking to you and telling you their whole life story. And you're thinking to yourself, why are you telling me all this? It ain't about you. It's about the God in you. It's about the God on you. Excuse me. It's about the God working through you. That's why people are coming to you, because they're being drawn by that Holy Spirit in you. Hallelujah. They're being drawn by the Holy Spirit in us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm just encouraged by this message tonight. Amen. I am encouraged. I am blessed by this message, because it's all about the person of the Holy Spirit, who he is and who he is to us. The Holy Spirit was working in the at the beginning of creation, and he's still doing his work of creation in each one of us that are created as a new living soul that are birthed into the kingdom of God. He is still doing his creation work. Amen. And we are being perfected through him, through Christ, but by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is perfecting us so that when we leave this earth realm, we are ready to go back to our Heavenly Father. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, does he do anything of his own accord? No. Us back to the Father. That is the job of the Holy Spirit, to draw us back to the Father. The Holy Spirit takes no glory for himself, but it's all about taking us back to the Father, guiding us back to the Father. That's the whole point of everything that's going on. It is all about our relationship with the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This has been good. Our next lesson, we're going to begin to talk about the gifts, the specific gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to begin to talk about those, and we'll be going, carrying that into the new year in our new facility, praise God, at the Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott on Jefferson Davis Highway in Stafford. We will begin there this coming Sunday, praise God, yay! And we just thank God for what he is doing in Stafford, Virginia right now. And hallelujah. Is anyone online have anything else they want to say before we close it out? Amen. Amen. Hey, darling.
Yeah.
Hello.
I thought it was good. Really, really good job tonight.
Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, darling. Glad you came online to join with us tonight. Amen. Well, I tell you what, since you're on the line, why don't you pray?
All right. Lord God, we thank you for tonight, and thank you for letting us come together with our brethren, even if it is over an archive, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we pray that you just watch out for us for the rest of this week, Lord God, and thank you for letting us be able to be enlightened and just taught by tonight's lesson, Lord God. Let the Spirit do your bidding, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Well, this is Pastor Kimberly Buford thanking you for joining us tonight on Breaking Chains with Young Adult Talk Radio, New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford Tuesday night Bible study. We love you.
Amen.
Praise God for you. We thank you for being here with us tonight. And we look forward to seeing you on next week, on next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. God bless you and keep you. Hallelujah. Is our prayer. Good night.
God bless you.
At DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management, we're looking for MBA students who want to own the room, not just be in it. Run the business, not just the meeting. Because our professors bring real business challenges into the classroom, at Keller, what you learn today can unlock the leader inside you tomorrow. It's what makes us different on purpose. Keller Graduate School of Management. Learn more at keller.edu.
In New York, DeVry University operates at DeVry College of New York, certified to operate by CHEV. DeVry University is authorized for operation by the THEC.